Our speaker for this morning has traveled many, many miles to be with us. I had to say that. 1,200 miles, over 1,200 miles to be with us. He's been on a journey for maybe the last couple weeks. And Charles Hornick was the 10th pastor of Spring Hill Baptist Church from 1976 to 1984. He was a blessing to this church while as pastor, and the Lord used him while he was here. Originally from Elkins, West Virginia, he graduated from Piedmont Bible College, now Carolina University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He currently lives in LaGrange, Wyoming, where he is dean of Frontier School of the Bible. He is he's got two really good thoughts prepared today and this evening, and I'm looking forward to hearing him speak, and I want to personally thank him for all his encouraging text and phone calls in the last 5 years since I've been pastor here. They've been a blessing. And so let's give Pastor Hornick a good welcome as he makes his way to the platform and preaches to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a tremendous blessing for me to be here. My wife wishes she could be here. She's not able to travel, but she sends her regards. There's so many memories that are just flooding my mind and my heart right now. And it's so good to see you. And thank you, Pastor, for the privilege of having me speak. And thank you for all the hard work. I love this guy. He loves the Lord and he loves you. And it shines and shows. And so thank you very much to you and your dear wife. And Pastor Mark, so good to see you and your dear wife here with us, your family, and what a blessing to see you guys. Thank you for all your faithful work here, and we are grateful for the pastors that God has sent this way to preach the Word of God, and I'm so grateful for the faithful people. The older I've gotten, the more I appreciate what I had here. I came here when I was 23 years old. My wife was 20. I didn't know what I was doing, but you love me and continue to pray for me. And we watch God work in tremendous ways. As I've been reflecting for the last 2 years, and I know Pastor has been working on this for 2 years because over 2 years ago he told me to save this date. And I've been looking forward to this time and praying for this time and so excited to be here and rejoice with you. I think of the words of Fanny Crosby, "To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done." And so I want to speak to you this morning on to the glory and praise of God, which is the last portion, the last words in the text that we're going to be looking at from the book of Philippians and chapter 1. So turn with me there, if you will, in your Bibles. The pastor mentioned to me that I have the distinction of being the oldest living pastor. I never thought I would see the day. So when I say I'm glad to be here, at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. But more so in rejoicing here with you. And I am having some of that short-term memory. I'll remember names 15 minutes later. You ever have that? Some of you are looking. Some of you are just, no. But I do. And then I can say I can remember faces, but half your faces are covered up right now, so it's more difficult. But oh, it is so good to see you and rejoice with you. Erwin Lutzer, pastor of Moody Church in Chicago for many years, was with us at our school several months ago, and he told the story about an older gentleman who got up in years and was beginning to be somewhat forgetful. He was a widower and feeling somewhat lonely, but he went to a social and there he met just a gal that he thought would be a real good life partner for the rest of his short life. So he got himself all fixed up to go to one of the socials and fixed up nice and everything. And he got up the nerve to go to the social and ask her, this widow, if she would marry him. And so he asked her, But on the way home, it dawned on him that he forgot what her answer was. So the next morning, he found the card with her number on it, and he gave her a call. And he said, you know, last night we talked, and I asked you to marry me, and I hate to admit this, but I forgot what your answer was. She said, well, my answer was yes, with all my heart. But I'm so glad you called, because I know last night somebody asked me to marry them, and I remember what I said, but I can't remember who it was. Well, one great thing, as you get older, the long-term memory is a tremendous blessing. And I've got a lot of precious memories about Spring Hill Baptist Church. Our children also, Pastor, were saved here at this church. And I remember several things about your love for us as a family. I didn't realize how much a church would need to forgive a pastor, a young man. But this church met the task, and we worked and served the Lord together and kept trusting in Him. There were times of many trials and tears, but we found God to be so faithful. And when I think of you all today, as we look at Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 11. This actually passage will always be dear to me, because this is the text that I preached on my last message on a Sunday morning when I was here back in 1984. I've known this church actually for about 50 years, because I knew about this church before I came to pastor. But I pastored here, came 44 years ago, and was here for 8 years. What a blessing. Paul the Apostle writes to the Philippian church. And when I think of the Philippian church, I think of Spring Hill Baptist Church. This church had the distinction of being the first church in Europe. And because they were a gospel-preaching church, a missionary-minded church, they supported the Apostle Paul at times when no one else supported him. And because of that church, the gospel would spread not only through Macedonia, wouldn't spread throughout that entire region, then into all of Europe, over to the rest of the world, over here in our western states in the United States. We are a result somewhat, probably, of the continued work of God through that church that was started there in Philippi. Paul writes back 11 years after the church had been started, and this is what he expresses from his heart. Follow along with me as I begin reading in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. And here's the title of the message, Under the Glory and Praise of God. You can tell that this church was attached to the Apostle Paul's heart, just as this church is attached to the hearts of so many of us. I'm reminded of the story of a junior age boy that was given a dare in sub-zero weather to stick his tongue out and put it on the pole on his porch. And he did that, but it was painful. But that's not what I'm thinking about. Before he got his tongue off of that pole, some of the pole was attached to his tongue, and some of his tongue was attached to the pole. You'll always be attached to our hearts, as we have many wonderful memories. The Apostle Paul here in this passage says, I have you on my mind. I have you in my prayers. I have you in my heart. But he never said, I have you on my nerves. Rather, the Apostle Paul pours out his heart, his praise and prayer to God, and ends this passage with, to the glory and praise of God. As we talk this morning, how do we make the most of this celebration right now? Because the most important thing about a celebration is praising God for what he has done. Thank you for that wonderful time of worship at the beginning. I love the song that we sang as a congregation, Great is Thy Faithfulness. 100 years of the faithfulness of this great and mighty God. I want to speak to you. Well, how do we make the most of this time? First of all, in praise to God, praise and prayer. And I want to encourage you along that line this morning. Tonight, we're going to look at what do these stones mean? And we're going to talk about how to answer people regarding the 100 years of God's faithful, the memorial we have, this milestone that this church has taken. So this morning, we're going to talk about talking to God. And this evening, how to talk to others about what has taken place. And I believe that the way to make the most of this celebration and bringing glory to God is to share together three heartfelt expressions. Three heartfelt expressions. First of all, we express our gratitude to God for this church's role in the gospel. Notice how Paul says, beginning in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And that's how I feel about this church and so many. The wonderful memories of what God has done in our lives and what God has done in the lives of those that we know and love. And notice he goes on and says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We must express our gratitude to God for this church's role in the gospel. First of all, notice that they were partakers of grace. Now, he makes mention of that specifically down in verse 7 in the last part. He says, you all are partakers of my grace, or grace with me. I'm so grateful that the gospel of grace has been preached at this church. The word of God, and verse that almost all of our children memorize, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. What a wonderful verse of scripture. God saved us by his grace. The only way we could be saved, the only way we could be right with God is for God to send his son to die upon the cross for our sins. And I'm so grateful for that 100 years the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed here. Paul addresses this church. Even if you look back at verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Did you know there are only two types of people? Saints and ain'ts. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has set you apart, because that's what the word saint means, set apart to God. Our lives haven't always been saintly, but we are saints. God himself has set us apart unto himself. Thank God we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and we have been saved from our sin. We're partakers of God's grace. Later on, Paul mentions the people in this church as being those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that wonderful? Your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. As we talk about to the praise and glory of God, there's a story I heard many years ago that really stuck with me. There was a very simple woman, didn't have much of this world's goods, but she was washing clothes by a stream using what we'd call a number 10 wash tub. And a couple of ruffians came up on horseback, and they heard her singing and praising God, and they began to chide her and mock her. But she kept on singing and praising the Lord. She gave a testimony to them. Oh, God has saved me. He is so wonderful. And one of them, in chiding her, said, well, Mammy, why in the world would God save the likes of you? She said, well, I tell you, when I get to heaven, God's going to take a number 10 washtub, he's going to turn it upside down, and then he's going to put me on it, and then he's going to gather all my brothers and sisters around about me, and he's going to point to me and say, that's what my grace could do. Right on, right? The book of Ephesians chapter 1 says we're saved to the praise of his glory. And one phrase, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The word glory can be best described by the word wow. Wow, what a God. And this morning we celebrate to the praise of the glory of his grace 100 years. And we give all the glory to God. Great is thy faithfulness. Well, as we talk about giving that gratitude to God, what we'd call the compliments of Paul's prayer, we also find there's joy, not only in being partakers of the grace of God, but joy in being fellow participants in the gospel. He says again in verse 4, after he says, I thank God every time I think of you. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, notice he's a southerner, y'all, probably from southern Tarsus, you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship. It's the word koinonia, your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. There are so many reasons why I thank God for Spring Hill Baptist Church, because of what the pastors, what our missionaries, and what this congregation has done in being a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and working together. This is a very special day for me because I am a result of your ministry. Before I came here, years before I came here, you supported a man by the name of Howard Barnes as a missionary to Elkins, West Virginia, to work at a church that was really struggling. And then from that church plant, first 3 and then 5 other churches. At the age of 15, I went to this little house, a church meeting in a house. And I heard for the first time from that man's lips that Jesus took my place upon the cross. Well, I heard that. And then we sang the song, Jesus Paid It All. Tears just flowed. That drew me like a magnet. Oh, what love of God. That was the need of my heart. And that man discipled me. And so, but he was there because you supported a missionary. And you know what? Years after I'm away from Spring Hill Baptist Church, you're still a very vital part of my life in the providence of God. When I was in, pastor for 12 years in Parachute, Colorado, I mean, it's way back in the sticks in the mountains of Colorado. You know, the Fosters are here. They are graduates of Frontier School of the Bible and dear friends. And Sam just graduated this past. He's actually going to graduate twice. He's already graduated, but there's going to be a special graduation after we get past some of the COVID stuff. So we're looking for that in August. But so we think about a Parachute, Colorado. Our slogan was, we live in Parachute where we love to have people drop in. I was going through one of those tough times that pastors go through. Pastor, have you ever had a tough time? Have you ever had a tough time? I mean, there are some, you know those times. Well, God sent us one of those prayer warriors, and we've had several of them in this church. I'm looking at some of them right now, one of them especially. God would send the prayer warriors. There was a woman who'd come to our church, and she loved the Lord. She was one of those sweet gals that just shined for Jesus. And we were having a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. She came to the prayer meeting, and she got there a little bit early, and we're talking, and she says, yeah, I hear you're from West Virginia. And I says, I sure am. She says, I can tell it by the way you talk and you're preaching. I guess my speech betrayed me. I don't know. But anyway, as we're talking, I said, well, I grew up in Elkins. And she says, well, I've been to Elkins. Yeah. She says, I grew up in South Charleston. I said, well, I pastored in South Charleston for 8 years. Well, she says, it wasn't South Charleston then. It was Spring Hill. I said, well, I pastored Spring Hill Baptist Church. She says, you don't say. That's where I was saved. At 11 years old, under the ministry of Pastor Stump, I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. Now, what's the chance of someone getting saved at Spring Hill Baptist Church and all the small towns throughout the United States of having someone from this church come and again be an encouragement to me? Oh, the participation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many things that come to my mind. of the blessing of this church, our missionaries. When I came here, I remember they talked about Joe Deck, missionary to Liberia. And then I got to meet Mike, and my first wedding was Mike and Joe Brown. I think there were four or five people ordained that were there at the rehearsal, and I was scared to death. But they have been such good friends. I think of Ray and Beverly, how God has used them, and Mike and Joe in Liberia, and now ministering in the prison ministry. And we can name missionary after missionary that this church has lovingly supported, sent out many missionaries. Many people have gone into full-time ministry because of this church's participation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. To God be the glory. And I just need to mention this as well. When we talk about to God be the glory, I like this definition that I heard of what a church is. A church is not made up of perfect people. A church is made up of people who know they're sinners and they band together to do something about it. And thank God we have in the Bible the very remedy that we all need. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, makes it very clear. All we like sheep have gone astray. What's wrong with the world? All we like sheep have gone astray. But when you know what the diagnosis of the real problem is, you have the remedy. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus died for sinners. Oh, hallelujah, what a God. So, the first thing is the compliments of our prayer. We thank God for Spring Hill Baptist Church, for their participation in the gospel of Jesus Christ, their role in the gospel. Secondly, we can express our confidence to God that this is his work, our confidence. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Confident that this is the work of God. God commenced this work. The church at Philippi was started as a prayer meeting. And I would dare say that probably this is a newer building, but if the walls could talk or if we could go back, we'd find it started by people praying. One thing I know, lots of prayers were done right here while I was your pastor. And I know that continues to be times of prayer that is so crucial. This work was commenced by God. God has continued the work, and God will also complete the work. What a great God. I can tell you of one answer to prayer that will always be a blessing to me, and how this church worked together for the gospel. When I was here, we started the Awana ministry, Awana program. Kelly and Beckley Stotler. Kelly was our first commander. So many of you joined in. I remember Dale and Bonnie, and I mean, Marguerite. So it involved getting on our Awana uniforms, and Ray, you were also another commander later on, and just how God worked and grew us. But there were three kids from a very troubled home that came. They were Frank Jackson's grandchildren. And after they'd come for a little while, they wanted to talk to us, and they wanted to talk about the Lord. And so my wife and I went over to their Uncle Larry's, Frank's son, and we shared the gospel of Christ. I led Timmy at the age of 9 to Christ. Sue was in the next room leading Trudy to Christ. Ted, their brother, had already known Christ as his personal Savior. But as soon as Timmy was, trusted Christ, he looked up at me and he says, "Pray for my daddy. My daddy really needs Jesus." And I said, "Well, we'll pray." And so we prayed right then for his dad to come to know Christ as personal Savior. And when I talked to Frank about what Timmy had said, Frank says, "Well, he's a pretty rough guy. You go knock on his door, he may put a hole through it with a shotgun. I know that might affect my visitation. I don't know." But what do? We prayed. This church prayed for this couple, a couple that had at that time were split apart. Interesting thing, about 2 months after that, I heard someone running up the stairs back here where you come up to the pastor's study. And they just banged on the door. I got there and opened up the door, and this man says, "Pastor Hornick, I need to talk to you. My life is so miserable. I am a wreck." So I brought him back in my study, and you somebody right that really needs the gospel right away. I just said, "Well, let me turn to John chapter 3, and I want to share with you what it means to be saved." And I said, "You need to be saved." And as I am going through the gospel with him, he hadn't even told me his name. And when I got down to John 3:16, I said, it says that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. "Put your name there." He says, "My name is Vic Lake. I'm Timmy's father." God had answered prayer. What a great God. And then I had the privilege of baptizing Vic, his wife Judy, and remarrying them, and and Timmy, and also Trudy. Ted had already been saved, already been baptized, and Ted was a hero in Operation Desert Storm. Excuse me. God gives us so many memories, doesn't he? So many faithful people over the years. Anna Lee, 63 years of being here at this church, and I think of so many over the years. God bless you. Marguerite, and I think of how God used Lou Cook, and there's so many. The Greers, what a joy and blessing. We're confident this is the work of God. And also, not only did he commence it, not only does he continue it, but he also will complete it. Notice what he says. It says, "He who have begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Where's the church at Philippi now? Well, it's all over the world through their ministry of the gospel. Where is Spring Hill Baptist Church? Well, there's a dear lady in parachute from Spring Hill Baptist Church. Our family. There are people in Liberia that have been won to Christ, and I'm so looking so forward to being in glory and having Mike and Joe introduce some of those people who came to know Christ from Liberia, and Ray and Beverly sharing about those who were saved in a youth ministry, and just the blessings that God has given. So we look at, and I'm going to wrap this up, the third thing. We've looked at the compliments in our praise and prayer, thanking God for the work of the gospel. Secondly, our confidence that this is the work of God. But thirdly, the contents of our praying. This is what I have been praying, and I believe many of us are praying for Spring Hill Baptist Church. Notice Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "Even as is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Now note these prayer requests. "Then this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Notice he didn't pray that they'd have love. They already had it. He didn't ask that they have abounding love. They already had abounding love. He asked that it abound yet more and more. And that's my prayer and the prayer of many of us for you as a church, because we need to pray for this church's future and to be ready when Jesus comes. God has more for Spring Hill Baptist Church, and I believe the greatest days are yet ahead. These are days of great opportunity. Verse 10, he talks about not only that they might have a love that would grow, but a mind to know. Verse 10, "that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." In other words, they might have minds to know the Word of God. I'm so grateful that in the 1950s, this church stood. And when a denomination began to get away from the Word of God, this church says, "We're not going with you. We're going to stand on the Word of God. It's going to be preached here. It's going to be proclaimed here." And that's where we stand. And despite going through some difficult times and being ostracized, they stood with the Lord. Oh, may our minds continue to know. These are days that we need to have, days of discernment and stand upon the Word of God. We've never seen days like this. The Lord's coming may not be far. We all need to be ready. Someone as well said, it isn't that just things are falling apart. Things are falling into place. Just as Jesus told us the last days would be, we can see the storm clouds coming. We need to be ready. And so we need to have minds that know and discern. And then finally, as we pray, we need to also have characters that show. He says in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. As I think of Spring Hill Baptist Church, I think of people who've stuck by the stuff. A secretary, over 50 years. How many churches could say they had a secretary for over 50 years? Kay, thank you. Where are you? Thank you so much. And her husband, Ray. I remember asking Ray if he'd be the treasurer. Treasurer over 40 years. I told him it'd be a temporary job. The faithfulness. And when sometimes people say, well, when you're going back and during that 100th anniversary, you probably aren't going to, you've been gone for 36 years, you won't know many people. I look and I see people stuck by the stuff year after year, after one pastor after another. Thank you for your faithfulness. The longer I'm in ministry, the more I appreciate people who stick by the stuff. Thank you. Your character has shown. So let's rejoice today. With the compliments of our prayer, we thank God for this church's role in the gospel. Secondly, we're confident that this is the work of God, and we praise God because He started it, He continues it, and we pray that He will complete it. We have the promise. And then also the contents of our prayer, that we might continue to pray for the future of this church, that its greatest days may be yet ahead. I'm not a very good writer, but I found a poem that someone wrote, and I adapted and rearranged it, rewrote it, and expresses my prayer for you, and a prayer, I believe, of many. So I changed it to our prayer. It's called Answering Our Prayer. When you show love to others and let them know you care and keep on growing in His grace, you'll be answering our prayer. When you follow Jesus only and take up your cross to bear, and God is first in everything, you'll be answering our prayer. When you proclaim the gospel and take it everywhere, when you give yourselves to missions, you'll be answering our prayer. When you rescue your brother from sin's alluring snare and forgive one another, you'll be answering our prayer. When by faith you walk with Jesus and you cast on Him your care, and for these times you trust Him, you'll be answering our prayer. When you follow your pastor who has God's message to share, when you follow and love Him, you'll be answering our prayer. And this finally, when Jesus comes from heaven and the saints meet in the air and you bring others there to greet us, you'll be answering our prayer. Keep on being faithful. We thank God for every remembrance of you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray if there are those who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, that today they'll trust in your Son, knowing that Jesus Christ is the only hope, that Jesus died for them and rose again. Open their eyes to see that all of us like sheep have gone astray, but you, out of your love and grace, you laid the iniquity of us all upon your Son who bore it all at Calvary. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we as believers will have a renewed commitment more than ever to follow Jesus until He comes, in whose precious and wonderful name we pray, and to whom we give all the glory this wonderful day. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you.